pray for me, because like my heart is pounding so much. But I know the Lord can help me do this. I feel so burdened about it. I'm going to talk about Jesus, the power of his resurrection. Is this on or do I need to turn it on? It's on, okay. I thank the Lord for the specials and the sister that sang the song about he lives. And that's what we want to talk about this afternoon. And the encouragement we want to give you about how you are going to resurrect. You know, that's a great blessing to think about. We have a hope of eternal life. And I just thank the Lord for that. Especially as you're getting a little older, you know, you realize that your life is short. It's very short, even if you live a long life. But this life is not really our real life. It's our life after death. And I want to encourage you this morning about Jesus. And I want to take a little trip almost like back before he died. And you know, the Lord revealed to me how much he loved his disciples and how much he loves us and how he took the time to speak to his disciples. And you know, the feet washing, the ordinance service we had, Jesus did that with his disciples. He loved them and he wanted to let them know he was going to die, but he didn't want them to be discouraged. He wanted them to be encouraged. And so we want to read over here before the death. We want to read in 1 Corinthians 23. You know, it's wonderful how the Lord worked with the disciples. You know, he loved them and he loves us. It says here in 1 Corinthians in the 15th chapter and the 35th verse, it says here, but some men will say, how are the dead raised up? No, I'm sorry, that's not what I want to get. I want to get before his death some scriptures here. Let's turn over to, okay, St. John 13, I'm sorry. St. John and 13. St. John 13, and we want to start reading here. When he called the disciples, and it says here that, you know how Peter was, but it says, and let's start reading about the, well, just about the first verse. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God, he riseth from supper, and laid aside his garments, and took a towel, and girded himself. After that he poureth water into a basin, and began to wash the disciples' feet, and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, what I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto him, thou shalt never wash my feet. But Jesus answered him, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. I just want us to get the thought about how Jesus was ministering to his disciples, how he ministers to us. He was washing their feet. You know, he was showing them that he was the Lord. He was the master. They were the servants, but yet he was going to bow down and wash their feet. That's what he does in our life. He washes our feet. He helps us out. He gives us encouragement. This is what he was doing with the disciples. And it says here that he said, he that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit, and ye are clean, but not all. for he knew who should betray him. Therefore said he, "Ye are not all clean." So after that he had washed their feet and had taken his garments and was set down again, he said unto them, "Know ye what I have done to you? Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye ought also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that ye shall do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither is he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them." What we're trying to lay a foundation is how that Jesus was with his disciples in the end, how he showed them some very important things. And if we will take that in our life, we'll realize how very important it was that he was telling them, you're going to have to wash one another's feet. You're going to have to love one another. You're going to forgive one another. You're going to have to bear with one another. He wanted to show his disciples that I am your Lord and Master. Peter didn't want him to do it at first. He didn't want him to bow down and wash his feet. He's, you're my Lord. You're my Master. You should not do that. But the Lord was showing him, if I can do that to you, surely you can do that to one another. And you know, sometimes that's the way, I know it was almost amusing, but there was someone put a request in for a man that said, you know, I'm done with forgiving. I can't forgive anymore. I'm just done with it. I don't know what problem he was having, but it was some person. He said, I can't do it no more. I'm done with it. And it was almost amusing, but it was sad. But, you know, if we ever attempted not to forgive somebody, I've always thought that scripture that said, if you cannot forgive, the Heavenly Father will not forgive you. That does it with me. I can forgive anything because I know I need the Lord's mercy. And we need the Lord's forgiveness. But this is why the Lord had a purpose in everything. But I just want to just think about the last days of his life before he died, how he came to them and how he was with them and how he loved them, you know. And he just, someone would help me because I'm, well, there are part there about where he came and passed the bread and the, it's probably in the St. John still, I think. You know, where he passed here, it's just a little bit farther, isn't it? In the same scripture. Pardon? Okay, well, where is it where I want to read that about where he passed the pardon? Matthew 26. Okay, let's turn to Matthew 26. I want to get that part because that's very important. It says here, there he was with the disciples, and he wanted to share. I don't think you're giving me the... Okay. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." He took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." And when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. But you know, the part what I want to get is just thinking about the Lord's Supper, how that they were there around the table, how they were passing the bread. I don't know, they might have said like, "Peter, you know, pass me some bread," or "John, pass me some bread." But it was just a real sweet time. They were passing the bread. They were sharing. It was the Lord's Supper. It was the last time he was to eat with them until he was going to eat in the Father's kingdom. And I was just thinking, if we could imagine those last days on earth with Jesus, but the power of his resurrection, that's what I want to just get to in a little bit. But that is just the great thing about the power of his resurrection. Amen. You know, because he lives, we're going to live. You know, I know that the Lord over here in God is able to bless us and help us in every way. I just thank the Lord for that. I want to go ahead and read in St. John 20 when Jesus after he died on the cross. And when he appeared to Mary, I don't know, you know, it may be in some ways we think, well, we know that Jesus arose, but have we ever really, really thought about it deeply, how wonderful that was, that Jesus arose from the grave, that he came out of the grave. He was dead. I mean, if we was to see that miracle with somebody, we knew that we had a funeral and someone died and they actually came back to life and talked to us. That was just amazing. It was just something powerful, you know. And St. John 20, it says here that Mary stood without of the sepulcher weeping, and as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulcher and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, knew that it was not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, master. You know, this word Rabboni, back then in the Jewish system, you know, that was like a master that was greater than just a master. It was a high honor to call someone Rabboni. And so she was giving Jesus the greatest honor that she could give him, to call him that Rabboni. But Emma says here, Jesus saith unto her, touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father and to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things unto her. You know, I'm just thinking about that, what the disciples thought. At that time, they were very afraid. They were very scared. They were hiding behind that door. When Jesus goes, as I'm going to read a little bit, and went to visit them, they had barred that door. They were afraid that they were going to be crucified too. Or they were going to be killed because they were the disciples of Christ. And they were really, really afraid. But Jesus went to them, and it says, the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews. Came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them. And you know, it wasn't just a door like we shut our door, but it was barred. It was barred. There was just no way a person could get in there normally, you know, without breaking the door down or whatever. It probably had locks and bars and everything else. But Jesus went right through the door. He went right through the door. And he said, and Jesus said to them, peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. What we want to try and impress today, that the power of Jesus' resurrection, it was very, very important that Jesus got over to his disciples, said, I am alive. I am alive. I'm not a dead Christ. I didn't just die and they buried me. I know you went through the whole part of the terrible death. You saw me die on the cross, and you saw, like was mentioned, spill my blood. You saw this horrible scene, and you know, when someone dies and you go through the funeral and all that, they had witnessed their Jesus dying. I mean, this was terrible to them. They were afraid, and they're afraid, they were so afraid, and that's why he said, peace be unto you. He was trying to give them courage because they had to carry his work on. They were the ones that were going to go out. So send I you. I'm going to send you. And so, you know, you've got to get over this fear. You've got to realize I'm alive. That everything I preached to you, that, you know, that is true. That I'm going to prepare a place for you. But first of all, before I go back to heaven, I've got to let you know for sure that I am alive. Yeah. You know, I was just thinking in our hearts and souls. Don't we have to take something with us? When it comes our time to die, aren't we going to have a foundation on our soul? Aren't we going to have something? You know, we talk,
you know, it's like people say, you can talk big now when you feel healthy and everything's going right. But so when it comes down to you're dying, you've got to know in your soul that you're saved, you're sanctified, you've got to have something besides people just around you. You have to go through that valley of the shadow of death with Jesus, just you and Jesus. No one else. They can't go with you. Your dearest friend, your husband, your wife, your mother, whoever, you know. The saints that would gather around you, if that was that way, if you weren't killed in a car accident or something. But if you have a deathbed experience, those people can only comfort you so far. They can only comfort you so far. But Jesus, the power of his resurrection, if you can just get that and know, don't wait. You know, don't wait. Don't put off. Some people put off their salvation. They even say sometimes, well, I know I'm not really sanctified, but I'm going to get sanctified. I know I need more power in my life, but I'm going to get it a little bit later. But, you know, it's dangerous to live like that because we could die any moment. Now we know Brother and Sister Ridge was in that car accident. And the Lord spared their lives. I've been in two bad car accidents. One really bad one. The worst one I was in. I was probably about 29 years old. Hit my temple. And I had 40 stitches in my temple. And I was saved. I was sanctified. But I could have been killed. And I remember asking the Lord to let me live. Because our girls were little. And I said, I want to raise my own girls. And I about all I could pray, you know. Because I was so bad off and broken ribs and everything. But I did pray that. I said, Lord, if you just let me live. It wasn't so much for myself, but I wanted to raise those little girls. But you know, the Lord, he's so wonderful. He has got such great power that, you know, no one wants to face death. Death is a monster to us. And what I want to encourage you this afternoon, that the power of Jesus' resurrection gives us so much hope. And so it's not a monster anymore. It's more of something that, you know, we sing a song, I am waiting, I am longing for the summons to come. Well, some people in the world would think you're absolutely, I don't want to say the wrong word, but you know, what's wrong with you? Why would you want to be waiting and longing for that moment? Because when you are really saved and sanctified, it's not a monster to you anymore. I use that word, I hope that's not, maybe it's not the best word. But in the, give me a word then. The death is a, pardon? It works for you? Okay. But you know, the death is a horrible thing to us. You know, the part is, he said, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, and thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. You know, and so he knows that it's a fearful thing. The Lord understands, but he wants to help us. And if we can just get the depths of the power of Jesus' resurrection and realize that same power, when the Spirit of God is in you, will raise you from the dead. If you die a natural death, if you die and, you know, I don't know, the way this world is, we could, you know, Jesus could come anytime, we could just meet him in the air. But if we die that kind of death, the dead in Christ shall rise first. And you know, you think about the power. Do you ever walk a graveyard? Do you ever walk a cemetery? Sure, all of us have. But do you ever think about these people are going to, they were alive like we are at one time, you know? And they had lives. They had loved ones. They experienced life. They ate. They slept. They had pain. They had problems. They had joys. You know, they experienced life, except if they're just a little baby that died, didn't experience much. But, you know, sometimes I like to look and see the day they were born and the day they were died and figure out how many years they lived. I don't know why I do that, but I do when I get a chance. But it just amazes me. There's all age groups. But those people were dear to God. And those people that were saints that lived 100 years ago, we sing their songs. They were people just like us. They live, they breathe. You said, well, Sister Marcia, that's kind of like yes, we know that. But what I'm trying to get to us is now they're gone. You know, the dear people that have set up here on this platform, Brother Sister Sammons. I mean, you know, when I was young, I remember when I come here, I remember the people that lived here, that preached to us, and now they're gone. To us, they're gone, but they're in eternity. And the power of Jesus' resurrection will give them that same power, that we will meet them again. That they will live again. We will live again. If we should die here on earth and buried, D.L. Moody said one time, you will see one day in the newspaper that D.L. Moody has passed away. Don't believe a word of it, he said. He said, because I'll be more alive than I ever have. You know, I feel that way. I feel that way. There's something in me. I know, you know, that death is out there and it's coming for me someday. But I can actually say, like that song, not that I want to die. You know, I'm just like you. My flesh don't really want to die. I want to live as long as the Lord wants me to. But yet there is still something in me that goes like, I'm waiting. Yes. I'm longing for that summons to come. But from trouble and sorrow, we're free. Oh, it's wonderful. When with Jesus, I will be reigning in that heavenly home. You know, saints, it's going to be something, what am I saying? You know, it's something that maybe we can't really get a hold of completely because it's going to be so wonderful. So, heaven is just going to be something that we'll have to experience, you know. But we will experience it. And it's something we can look forward to. So we want to get beyond clinging to this life too much, because when God really tells us it's time, you know, it's time to go. Do you believe a saint that lived for God years and years that God would not tell them, this time you're not going to be healed? This time, this is your death. This is death is coming for you. My cousin, my dear cousin Kathy, I believe that she got saved in Virginia there before she died. But she told my sister, she said, the Lord is telling me that I'm going to die soon. You know, God is so good. He is so merciful. He will tell you, I believe. And, you know, and if he doesn't tell you and you're killed in a car accident or something, that could happen. But most of the time, I think the Lord does give us a warning, especially if we need it, like she needed some preparation to get ready. And she was really dear to me. And I was telling this for a testimony. When I was at Monarch last year, they had a call for missionary work, but it wasn't missionary work to go to other countries. It was to work with your family, work with people that you know. And I went to the altar and prayed and consecrated myself. I said, Lord, I want to write letters and send books to my loved ones there in Virginia and try to help them. And that's what I went for, to consecrate more to do that. So when I got home and the Lord said, Kathy is your first one. And she died December 17th of last year. God knew, see? Yes. And God will talk to you and tell you things. And so when I got home, I sent her a book in August, right after Monarch. I sent her a book on salvation, the simple steps to salvation, one of our books. And I wrote her a little letter in there inside how much I loved her, how much she meant to me. She was my first cousin. But she was very close to me because growing up, my sister's 10 years younger, and she was the oldest daughter in her family, and I was the oldest daughter in my family. So, you know, for the childhood years, she was my buddy. And Kathy was dear. But see, what I'm trying to say is back to people are going to die. And I know, we know that. But now, reality is we need to be very careful how we work with people. Because we don't know when it's going to be their last time you speak to them. Sometimes people, you know, leave your house in a hurry. There was some shootings in the school, and I heard this is a true story. This little girl, she was killed that morning, but she normally didn't talk to her daddy like that. She was at the stairway, and her daddy was rushing out the door to go to work. And she said, Daddy, Daddy, And she didn't do that before. And he said, "What, honey?" She said, "I just want to tell you goodbye." And he said, "Well, goodbye, honey." And I don't even know if he went over and kissed her. But the Lord let her do that, see? Because, and he had that memory of her telling him goodbye. And she was killed at school. The young are killed. We're living in a world that you don't have protection. Except God's protection. But you know, what we want to encourage us today is the power of Jesus' resurrection. That same power will give you a resurrection. And you know, that's what we want to encourage you. That same power will give you resurrection. How sweet. Have you, you know, I know everyone here that loves the Lord and knows how sweet Jesus is. But I just, as I'm reading these scriptures, Jesus is so precious. Going to the disciples, talking to them. He said, "Peace." We've read this before. "Peace be unto you." If someone can read some of that for me for a minute, John 20. Go. I want to read about Thomas 24 through 27. Okay, so, you know, thank you. The Lord, you know, he made a special visit to Thomas because Thomas wasn't there. He wanted Thomas to believe. We want to encourage you this morning. We know you believe, but we want to encourage you to really, really think about it and really think about that anticipation that you someday will resurrect. When I went to see Kathy's grave, I didn't go back to the funeral. I seen her in November, and she died December 17th. And I just had got back from West Virginia. And I cried so hard for days that I just thought my family needed me, and I just felt like I didn't really want to see her dead. So when I went home this last June, they took me to her grave. You know, it was sad. But some of the things that she had done, she had left letters asking forgiveness. She had been praying all night, the night she died. So, and some other things, I won't take the time to tell everything, but I believe she really got saved and the Lord took her home. But dear Kathy Ann Perkins, I saw her little grave there and it was like a big circle. It was called Halo Lane. And I said, "Oh, I don't know." It was just like a dear spot to me. It was something that I had to see. Because this is a dear person to me. I want to know where her body was laid, you know. So my mind now goes to that dear spot in my mind when I think of her. And I thought, you know, I thought they said it was in the mountains. And I thought, oh, in the West Virginia mountains. If you all have been there, you know, sometimes it's just really up on the mountains. They have these little cemeteries. And I thought, oh, it's going to be so hard to get there. And it's going to be, we may have to walk. And it's going to be hard. And I didn't know where it was. And it kind of concerned me. But she was in a beautiful place at Halo Lane. And just, you know, it was a beautiful place. And you say, well, how can you be happy? How can you, oh, I don't know how to explain what I'm trying to say exactly. But you have a hope of resurrection. So it's not that you just say, well, Kathy's gone forever. But you know that someday you'll get to see her again. You have a hope. We sing a song. We have a hope within our souls. Brighter than the perfect day. God has given us his spirit. And we want the world to hear it. All our doubts are passed away.
I know I will live again. I know there is a heaven. I know there is a Jesus that's alive right now as I'm speaking. I know he will come for me. I know the song says, angel band gather round. I know it's true. And you know, that gives me hope. That gives me hope. When this life is over, we will have the same spirit. We want to encourage you today, if you don't know positively, you have that spirit in you that can rise. It's going to take some power now to rise from that grave. Yes. But if you die a saint and you're sanctified, see what I'm saying? You're saved, you're sanctified, and then you're going to be quickened and you're going to arise out of that grave. It's going to be powerful, I'm telling you. It's going to be beyond anything that we could imagine. And we can't take it. And I remember years ago, Brother McCoy, dear Brother McCoy, was over there talking to Jerry and I. We were young persons, and he was getting elderly and not very, he died soon after that. And he told us, he says, don't worry, children, or something. He said, you know, he said, my body's going down. He said, I'm getting older, my body's going down, I can feel it. He said, but this is what's got to happen for me to go into the eternal world. I might not have exact words, but it made such an impression on me. Because he wasn't sad. He wasn't gloomy. He wasn't discouraged. That he was, you know, he knew that his body had to decay and die for him to experience what he's preached about all his life. You know, and he was ready. Dear Brother McCoy, dear Brother Sister Samus, dear Sister Laverne, dear Sister Clark, dear Brother Hargrave, dear, so many dear saints that have got, and someday it will be us. Someday it will be our turn. But you know, I'm not discouraged at all about it because, you know, the little girl that belonged to Sister, we can't think of her name. She was adopted, and she died young. She kind of had blonde hair. Lori, I remember Lori testifying how the Lord let her be adopted by the saints, and she died young. But she said for some reason, she says the song, it just stands out to me all the time. I am waiting. I am longing for the summons to come. And I don't know if she just thought maybe she would die young or whatever, but that's what happened. But that song was so special to her. Then I think about Sister Marcia White. Hmm? After she died. Yeah, and I remember testifying about that song. And then Marcia White, when she was 43, I believe, when she died. You know, remember Marcia White? Well, I really, you know, thought she was kind of special because she had my name, you know, except she spelled it different. But I went to see her when she was dying. She wasn't bedfast yet, but she had an illness I knew was going to take her once the Lord healed her. But Sister Marcia, she sat on the couch with me, and she died at 43. That's pretty young. And she had a little wit about her, you know, but she kind of punched me, and she said, I get to go to heaven before you. But what I want to say this afternoon, that, you know, the power of Jesus' resurrection causes saints to be that way. That they are, it's not that they're to the world they might look like different, because the world does everything they can to keep alive. Don't they try to, mostly? The majority, they think, you know, do everything. And I don't want to get into all that, but I just want to get to the reason the saints are so different is because we are saved, we are sanctified. We live in the eternal world more. I mean, our vision is beyond the grave. Our vision is beyond this body. Our vision is we know that God promised us eternal life. And I remember not very long ago, we've had some deaths in our congregation, and I was meditating on it, and I said, Lord, what about death, Lord? I mean, what about? I was just at home talking to the Lord. I wasn't even on my knees. I was just sitting somewhere and just praying. I said, Lord, what about this? What about this death? I said, it just seems like it me. I just feel like I'll never die. But then I see these people dying, and I know we got to die. But inside of me, I feel like I will never die, Lord. And the Lord spoke to me, says, your soul can't die. It's eternal. Oh, I mean, I know that's, we know that, and I know it's true, but it's when the way God spoke it to me, it just did something to me. It was just illumination, just a blessing from God. Just, he said, your soul can't die. Your spirit is eternal. The only thing can die is your body, your flesh and bones. This house of clay we're living in, yes, it will die. Your soul can never die. So wouldn't it be very important for us to take care of that eternal soul, and that people put that off? They want to extend the life of the body. They want to do everything to keep the body going and keep it working. But the most important thing is your soul. The most important thing is your spirit. Because that's what's going to live forever and ever. You know, take care of that. That's more important. I would say we know that. That's the most important. And I tell you, you look out at these beautiful grounds here. And where I sit, you know, I can look straight out that way, straight out at the beautiful trees and everything. And when I'm singing during services and stuff, I can look out there. It's okay. Look out there and thank the Lord for the beautiful everything. God made a beautiful world. I'm not talking about the worldly things. I'm talking about his world. His sun, his moon, his trees, his flowers, his land, his mountains, his rivers, his lakes, his oceans. Everything is beautiful. And God made this world for us to live in. And if God can do that for us here, what does he have prepared for us, saints? Oh, I tell you what, I'm excited about it. I'm excited about it. I'm not trying to turn back the clock. I'm excited because I know that God has something wonderful. Praise the Lord. You know, it's just wonderful, isn't it? So we want to get back here at the scripture a little bit here, but oh, I thank the Lord. I want to read a little bit about how he visited Peter and the disciples there. And it was mentioned in this meeting, but, you know, Simon Peter, he was a little bit, you know, just getting kind of probably discouraged a little bit. If someone wants to help me read again in the 21st, read the third verse of the 21st chapter of St. John. And down to where Peter said, it is the Lord. But you know, Peter was fishing there, and they weren't doing what Jesus wanted them to do. Jesus wanted them to go preach. And they weren't doing what Jesus wanted them to do. They were fishing. There's nothing wrong with fishing. Go ahead.
And Peter saith unto them, I go a-fishing. They say unto him, we also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, children, have ye any meat? They answered him, no. And he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, it is the Lord. Now, okay. When Simon Peter heard that
that's
it...
That's okay, brother. So, thank you. Jesus, he is the sweetest Jesus I mean, don't you think so? I mean, because he goes and visits the disciples, but he don't get after them in that way. He don't say, disciples, why aren't you out preaching? Why are you fishing? He didn't scold them, but he taught them an object lesson. You caught nothing, but then when I blessed you, you caught. Now, why are you doing this? Because it's not, I can give you fish. Anytime you want fish, I can give you all the fish you need. But that's not what I want you to be doing. I called you to be fishers of men. And you know, he's arose from the grave now. I mean, he's teaching them. He had to stay around here for a while to teach them. You've got to go out and work for me. You've got to work for me. And Peter recognized it was the Lord. He said, it is the Lord. And then it goes on. He says, Jesus saith unto him in the 10th verse, bring of the fish which ye have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net. It was 153. For all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. And Jesus said, come and dine. And then he went on and he started to talk to, it says in the 14th verse, this is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after that he was risen from the dead. So now they're talking to a risen Savior. What would it be like to be there? Well, someday we will see Jesus. We'll see our risen Savior. And, you know, and it says here, so when they had dined, Jesus said, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? Yea, Lord, thou knowest I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my lambs. He saith unto him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And Peter was grieved, because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things, thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus said, feed my sheep. Amen. You know, he was trying to get over to them, you know, that I want you to work for me. I want you to work for me. But he did it very gently and kindly and lovingly. we think. And, you know, it's the same with us. He does the same with us. He doesn't scold us. The Lord always deals with me in mercy and love. He always helps me. I never feel like he wants to cut me off. Even if I fast about something and do something or say something, he works with me and tells me, oh, it would have been better if you hadn't done it that way. You know, and I want you to do it this way. He's just so precious. He's just so sweet. That's what I want to get over to us today. The power of Jesus' resurrection and how sweet he was, how kind he was to his disciples. He's the same way working with us. Amen. He works with us in kindness and mercy and love and long-suffering and gentleness. And that's why he wants us to work with one another. He works with us the same way. His object for us is to get to heaven and to help everyone else get there. Amen. That we can get. And that's why he's the same as he was telling them, the Lord. I want to read a little bit over here in Acts now. This is some of my favorite scriptures. This one in Acts, but Jesus is getting ready to resurrect and go to heaven now. But there was one scripture I forgot to read. I wanted to read in St. John. I think it's 14. Let not your heart be troubled. You know, the Lord doesn't want our heart to be troubled. He wants us to believe in God. It says, let not your heart be troubled. Do you believe in God? Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whether I go, ye know, and the way ye know. So, you know, the Lord doesn't want our heart to be troubled. How many times is our heart troubled? Sometimes our heart gets troubled. But, you know, the Lord doesn't want us to be troubled. He wants us to have faith. He wants us to have hope. He wants us to have assurance in Jesus. He wants us to trust him. He wants us to believe and not doubt. He wants us to be have confidence in God, the Father, and Jesus. He wants us to have confidence in ourselves. He wants us to trust him. He wants us to go forward. He wants us, what do our songs say? Press on. I don't know if you understood my testimony this earlier because I was crying a little bit there. And, you know, it might have been better if I hadn't been crying. But what I was trying to get over is many times I asked the Lord to give me a song out of our songbook. Like, give me a song, you know, maybe like, sometimes even before I preach, I'll say, Lord, give me a song. I might open to go forth. You say, well, you can't just go by that. But that I don't just go by that. But, you know, I mean, just or if I just need some encouragement on faith or anything. And the Lord gives me songs all the time since I've been saved. And this morning, the Lord gave me a dream, like a dream vision. And this song book was handed to me. I said, take this. It's yours. Just take it. You know, it's the whole book. So the Lord let me know that all the songs are yours. You ask for a song, but I give them all to you. You know, isn't he sweet? I mean, that was the sweetest thing to wake up to see that, giving me that songbook. And I could see the Evening Light songbook, and I thought, what does that mean? And the Lord, I just give it all to you. You know, isn't that sweet? The Lord is just so sweet. So, in this scripture here, let not your heart be troubled. We want to read over in Acts. Lord willing, we're almost done. I just want to read there when Jesus ascended. It says in the second verse or third verse, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them for 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. He was alive for 40 days on earth, showing them that he was alive. This was very, very important for the disciples, because we have heard that besides John, they all were martyred, and they had to go out and have faith in God and preach and teach. But that's the reason they could do it. Now, I'm just saying, you know, if you saw Jesus alive, and he was alive, you had saw him die, and you saw him alive, would not that give you the unction? Would that not give you the strength? Would that not give you the power to go forth and preach the gospel? That's what the disciples needed. Today, we can have the same faith, even though we haven't seen Jesus maybe in the flesh, we've seen him. I've seen him. I know he's alive. I know he's real. And we see, and that same unction gives us power that we will have a resurrection and we have a hope of eternal life, because we know positively, beyond a shadow of a doubt. If someone was to ask me, how do you know positively the way you're living is the right way? I'd say 100% plus, I know. Positively assured. You know, the people you're with, do you believe that you're, you know, as far, I haven't found any people any closer to the truth than the people we worship with. The Lord brought me to these people, and I have stayed with them. I was 18 years old when I walked in these campgrounds, and I'm telling you, I didn't even know I was supposed to wear long sleeves. Jurian told me, and so I only had one long sleeve blouse, and I had jumpers, so I would wash the blouse out and put it on. Wash the blouse out, put it on. Because you know what? I wanted to be like the saints. People didn't have to just tell me I had to do something. You know, I wanted to be one of the saints. I loved them right off. And I never seen any people like them before. I mean, it was amazing to me. And I remember sitting in the back watching them walk by. And I said, oh, Lord, can you ever make me like them? Would make me a saint. I wanted to be a saint too, but I was saved. I was sanctified. You know, I was saved anyway. I think I got saved, sanctified a little later than that. But you know, the Lord, you got to have a made up mind. You got to have a foundation.
You got to know where you're at. And you've got to have this power of the resurrection in your heart, that you will not fear death as much as someone that's not ready to meet God. D.L. Moody said, don't believe it. When you see that I'm dead, don't believe it. I'll be more alive then than ever. I don't know what's going to happen when I die. I don't know if I'm going to see a lot of angels coming around. I don't doubt anything. I'm looking forward to, you know, I'm not saying I want to die tomorrow or nothing, but I'm just saying when it's time to die, I know something's going to happen. Now, I don't know. Something's going to happen amazing to me. I'm going to see Jesus, or I'm going to see angels. I mean, we have testimonies. We have stories I tell the children. The little girl, she was dying, and she was afraid at first. And then she says, Mama, I'm not afraid anymore. Because she said, I see all these little children in white, and they're beckoning to me. And you talk of other people. They hear Sister Milo, Sister Roberta's mother. She said she heard the trumpet blowing. She says, can you hear it? They said, no, we can't hear. And I'm sure that if you all testify, there'd be other testimonies that people see things. Jerry's father, he clapped his hands when he was dying. Jerry's mother, I remember I was there, and her head was down, and she lifted her head up, and her eyes just got really wide. She didn't say anything, but she was so low. But she saw something. The eternal world is real. It's powerful. It's something, you know, that we don't have to be afraid of. We're saved and sanctified. We're just going to transport to another world. And, you know, and this is why we deny ourselves. We don't want the world. We don't want the things of the world, because we know we have a better world. We have a better world than this. And these, you know, when I was young and before I was saved, I thought, you know, I like to go to the fairs. I like to ride. I was all for excitement. I wanted to get on the bullet. You know, the bullet, it would go like straight up and down and round and around and around and around and just shake you all up, things like that. But you know, after I got saved, I lost my desire for all those things. I didn't want them no more. I didn't want the fairgrounds no more. I didn't want those crazy rides anymore. Praise God. I'm done with all that stuff. You know, you're just change. You just change. Because you have something greater. You know what? We sing a little song. We do just what we want to and go just where we please. And that is what we're doing here today. You know, there was such excitement in my heart for Monarch. We got here Wednesday with some of my granddaughters and helped get the cabin ready. And I've been here ever since. I'm still not tired of it. I wish we could have another week. I wish we could. Or I wish we could have two Monarchs, maybe one in the fall. You know, it's just so wonderful. Why not? Why not have two? I know it's a lot of work. But, you know, it's well worth it, isn't it? Oh, thank the Lord. But anyway, I'm going to finish up here because I'm carried. But it says, to whom also he showed himself alive. We serve a risen Savior. Maybe we can sing that when I sit down. He's alive. We serve a risen Savior. He showed himself alive, infallible proofs, being seen of them for 40 days. And he told them to wait for the promise of the Father. You know, I take note. We need to take note of what Jesus says in red. And Jesus, some of the last words he said is get, I'm putting in as, you know, my words, but receive the Holy Spirit. You're needed. You know, that's what he told them. He wanted them to realize, I'm leaving, but I'm going to send you a comforter. A comforter. The Holy Spirit. You know, we may think, you know, yes, the Holy Spirit is for so many reasons. The Holy Spirit, you know, for us to get callings from God, like ministering. And Sunday school teachers should be called and led from the Holy Spirit. So we need to get the Holy Spirit first so we can have callings in the church. The Holy Spirit is a comforter. Oh, how many times the Holy Spirit has gave me a song or gave me a scripture or something right when I needed it. It came from the Holy Spirit. And, you know, this is why we need power to stay saved. The Holy Spirit gives us that power. It seals us. It gets all that carnality out of us. For we were born with carnality. And the Lord, the Holy Spirit takes it out of us. So you see how many reasons we need the Holy Spirit. And probably some others could say even more reasons. We just need the Holy Spirit. And Jesus knew we needed the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit gave them courage to be martyred. The Holy Spirit gave them that courage. You know, we talk about, we know we're all going to die one of these days. Well, the Holy Spirit will give us strength to go through that. To go through that valley of the shadow of death. The Holy Spirit will be with us. Oh, you know, Jesus said, it says, John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. He told him to go to Jerusalem and wait for the promise of the Father. He was giving, he had to go back, but he was sending the Comforter. Oh, Jesus is so sweet. You know, and he went there, and then this is what happened. He said, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you will be witnesses. And when he had spoken these things, and while they beheld him, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up. Now, sometimes I just think of different things, but you know, people say, well, where is heaven? We don't know where heaven is. Well, Jesus went up. I know sometimes on my airplane, I look out, I look at the clouds, so beautiful up there, you know, so pretty. And I think in Jesus, I don't know how far he went up. He went up to heaven. He went up, right? That's right. Yeah, he went up. And he went up. And while they steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel. Angels. You know, it said angels were created beings to be angels. We were created to be humans. But we says when we die, we will be as the angels in heaven. That's what it says. There will be no more marrying and giving in marriage. It said, but you shall be as the angels in heaven. So there's angels. And the angel spoke to them. Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. So that's what I'm going to leave with you. This same Jesus that went up there, he's preparing a place for us. And you know, the best life on this earth is a saved and sanctified life. It is the very best life. The Lord will give you joys. You can have joys and you can have happiness. God doesn't take anything away from you except the bad things. Sin and bad things that would be hard for you. That's all. But he gives you so many things. Maybe we could stand and sing that song. The song?
He lives.
He lives. Thank you. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, Philippians 3:10. You have it? That I may know him. Oh, that would be a good one. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Yes. Okay, we'll leave that. Philippians 3:10. Thank you. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings be made conformable unto his death. That if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. If we know Jesus and the power of his resurrection, we can attain unto that same resurrection. He was the first fruits. He was the first fruits. So we don't have to be afraid. We don't have to be afraid. Pray for me.